Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubernick.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today we have on Becky Cianflone. She is the Executive Director of Community Futures Greenstone in Flin Flon, Manitoba. Welcome, Becky.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
We were just saying before we were recording here about how we have a really good northern theme going on here. So I love that we were able to interview at this time because we have a few other northern episodes coming out. And I always say this, the North gets forgotten way too often and there's so much opportunity up there. So we're happy to have you today to talk about that.
Absolutely. And it's such a wonderful time of year as the seasons are changing in the North and we're starting to settle into, you know, that coziness of winter, but also getting ready for some fun activities that we can do outdoors in the North.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll get right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do? What made you, have you grown up in Flin Flon your whole life or how did you come to live there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working for the Community Futures program for about 12 years. Community Futures is a national program. We have 260 offices across Canada. There are 16 right here in Manitoba that serve rural and northern entrepreneurs and communities. So I actually started out in southern Manitoba. So when we talk about immigration, I was working with communities like Steinbeck and Niverville and Morris and St. Pierre So communities that with real robust immigration programs and support services and really rapidly growing populations. So 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to come to Flin Flon. So the manager of the Community Futures office, who had been here for a number of years, was retiring. And my husband and I kind of looked at each other and thought, like, Flin Flon is on the other side of the planet. Like, that doesn't, people don't actually move there, do they? And so we kind of went round and round. And we got to a point where we said, you know, if we don't at least try this, we're going to spend the rest of our lives wondering, like, what that would have been like. And so, yeah, 10 years later, we're here. I'm managing the Community Futures office. This particular office services the communities of Flin Flon, Cranberry Portage, Snow Lake, and Sheridan. So we're sort of the little northwest corner of Manitoba.
So did you grow up in southern Manitoba then? Like that was kind of your first experience moving to the north?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I grew up in like central Manitoba on Lake Winnipeg. So I've always lived in small communities and I've always felt a real strong sense of place making and using, you know, the most important assets we have in communities, which of course are human assets.
So Becky, you decided to stay and live in Flin Flon. And from your perspective, what makes Flin Flon and the surrounding area a really great place to live? So why'd you guys decide to stay?
Well, that's a huge question. But it's really, again, it comes back to my previous comment that it's all about the people. So this past June, of course, June 2025, we experienced a significant wildfire event near and around the community. And during that time, the community was evacuated for a period of time. And while we were evacuated, and there was sort of the, you know, all these what if questions circling the air of what could happen to our community. And somebody made the comment, there was a news interview and a gentleman who's been a Flin Flonner, you know, born and raised, he made the comment that him and his spouse talked about, if we can't go back to Flin Flon, where are we going to go? And she said, we're going to find where all the Flin Floners went, and that's where we're going to go. And so I think that really, sums up how we feel about the people that we occupy this place with. And there's, some really great characters, some great neighborhoods and people. And also, during COVID, which was a number of years ago, but it seems really fresh still. Again, that sense of community was really important, like knowing that although we were kind of alone in our homes, we weren't alone in a greater sense of the word. And the access to the outdoors. For our family, that was a driving factor in the decision to relocate to this community. And it's been a factor in keeping us here. Certainly. One of the biggest problems is when we want to go fishing, which lake are we going to go fishing on? Trying to decide what species, which lake, where are we going to go today? So it's great to have problems like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I find very much. I lived in Thompson for a few years. You very much like are a community because you're sort of all there together. You support each other. And I don't care what anyone says, there's always so many activities. People intentionally create opportunities in the North,
It was actually really dramatic, dramatically noticeable when we moved here. It was like, you could be busy every day of the week. There's so many activities because, again, Northerners have this sense of nobody is coming to save us. And so if we want to do something, we just build it. We just do it. We tend not to ask permission and we tend to just make things happen. And again, it's that sense of being remote and relying on one another and ourselves.
So then would you say, Becky, that that it takes a lot of volunteerism in terms of, to have a daycare board run, to have your recreational facilities run. So you need a lot of volunteers and community capacity. And so therefore, the reason why I asked this question is because if someone chooses to relocate or is a newcomer to the North, there's lots of opportunities to get involved in the community and build your resume through volunteering.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the best reasons to choose a rural or northern community is that those service organizations, volunteer organizations that exist, it's one of the best ways to meet people and to get to know your community and your neighbors. So in Flin Flon, when we moved here, my husband and I both joined he joined the Kinsmen, I joined the Connect Club, right? So a national service organization, which has a presence here. And again, got to do a lot of fun things socially, but also a lot of community service work. We have a super active Rotary Club, and those organizations give back to the community in a lot of ways. So the Rotary Club made a significant contribution to the new aquatic center that's going up in Flin Flon. Yeah, lots of opportunities. We have a wonderful food bank. Our Salvation Army runs a soup kitchen that operates. So lots of opportunities. And you mentioned boards and committees. Again, we make things happen here. And so sometimes it's, a group of four or five people just get together and start a parent committee to support music in the schools, parent committees to support grad, lots of ways to get involved, whether you have a family or not.
And what is the size of Flin Flon?
Yeah, so Flin Flon is a little bit interesting because that's not like a straight answer.
No, it's true because you have surrounding communities as well, right?
Right. So Flin Flon is actually a border community, which many people don't realize, but we sit right on the border of Saskatchewan and Manitoba. I can actually see the border from my office on Main Street in Flin Flon. That's how closely tied we are. And so in Flin Flon itself, the last census was just over 5,000 residents. And that's down from actually a peak population of about 15,000 when the mine sector was in its heyday here in our community. Creighton has about another 2,000 residents. And then the surrounding communities, we've got another 1,000 or so that live year round. So we say that our trading area is about 10,000. Okay. There's some large First Nations communities a little bit further on the Saskatchewan side. So yeah, so it's really unique in that way. There's actually about 80 homes that are in Flin Flon, Saskatchewan. There is a little part of Flin Flon that is Flin Flon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
Yes.
And I'm going to assume too, same thing, you know, because we've talked to Thompson, we've talked to the PAW, but housing fairly affordable for the most part for a lot of people. You have that opportunity to kind of get in the market or.
Yeah. Another fabulous reason to choose North is that we do have a decent supply of housing for purchase. Rental supply can be up and down. I think like that's a nationwide problem. Yeah. As we know, we hear about it on the news every day. But we actually, in the city of Flin Flon itself, has a $1 lot program. So we have a number of infill lots that are available in the city of Flin Flon that you can purchase for $1. And yes, you heard that right. One Canadian dollar.
So a person could go buy a lot for $1 and build a house or build a business or something.
Correct. So these are residential lots. Wow, so residential. I'm not okay. sure about business specifically, but these lots, again, you have to have a plan to develop or build within a certain time frame. So there's a couple conditions on it, but again, it's a lot, a developed lot, serviced lot for $1. And so, again, we think that that's a really great opportunity.
So Becky, let's talk a little bit more about community futures. Mm-hmm. And I love community futures because if people have listened to this podcast before, I worked for community futures for 15 years. So I have a strong understanding of it. And right before we start the podcast, Leah said something that when I worked there, I would always hear people say, oh, I didn't know you worked there. And they didn't know what community futures did, even though we constantly were out in the community doing stuff. So I think this is a great opportunity for you to tell everyone what community futures does and how it offers assistance to people living in the north.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, the community futures programs are funded through Prairies Economic Development Canada, so through the federal government. Our offices are funded to support entrepreneurship and to support communities. So we really help business owners or new entrepreneurs. And what's really cool is that we meet them at whatever stage they're at. So we see new clients that have an idea jotted down on the back of a napkin. They're not really sure where to start and what to do next. And then we also see people that have fully formulated business plans that, again, are wondering what to do next or where to go for money. So a big part of what we do is that sort of one-on-one business coaching, support, connecting to other service agencies and making those referrals. And then part of it is also lending. We do have a business loan program, so we can help connect entrepreneurs with that funding they need to get started. Maybe they want to purchase a business that's already existing. We can finance that, or we can also finance folks to do an expansion. So again, we meet people where they're at. We have tools and resources available for all different stages. The other part of what we do, of course, is the community development. And so we do support just this last weekend, I was in one of our communities supporting a tourism strategic planning session. So that's some of the work we do as well with helping communities on some of the more strategic pieces and supporting nonprofit organizations, which I also really enjoy. So for instance, this last summer, we did a strategic plan with the Flin Flon Library Board and helped them to understand what they're going to do over the next few years as libraries change all over. Yeah, so that's in a nutshell what Community Futures does. And we know that a lot of folks that come to Canada or come into new communities have business ideas and they want to pursue those. And so we encourage people to reach out to their local community futures. We often know kind of what's happening in the community, maybe what businesses are for sale, what businesses are for sale quietly that people aren't advertising or aren't talking about, but you sort of know the entrepreneur is getting to that age or something's happening within the business that's likely going to lead to a change in ownership. And so we're a great, again, great place to come within the community to get some general information, even who's hiring, what's available for housing. Even though that isn't specific to our mandate, it is a way that we support communities and support people, relocating into our region.
I want to clarify this too. Community Futures, it's not in cities, right? It's in the sort of the rural towns and northern areas. Like you wouldn't have a Community Futures in Winnipeg.
That's correct. Yes. We specifically serve rural and northern communities, which is, again, something that I just really love about our program, because we know that there's unique challenges to starting and owning a business in a smaller place or in a more remote place.
And is it across Canada or is it just the prairies as well?
We're actually all across Canada. Okay. So it's just the funding is delivered a little bit differently depending where you are in the country.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, you talked about, you know, Canadians, newcomers. So in terms of people who want to access your supports, people that would need to be either a citizen or have their permanent residency, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And people who are earlier stage than that, I understand that there's a couple agencies, even in Winnipeg, who help folks out with like credential recognition and some business support and coaching. Again, early stages. There's an organization called Seed Winnipeg, S-E-E-D, that does some of that work. So, but yeah, people who are a little bit further along that, you know, Canada is now home for them and are looking to put down those roots and make some investments. Community Futures is a great first stop to understand, you know, does this community need a grocery store? That convenience store that's on the corner, it has a for sale sign in the window. What's the deal with that? This building that's been empty on Main Street for years, what could go in there that the community could use? What would the community support? Right. It's, again, a great place to come and get some of that local knowledge and information.
That's great. So, you know, what we'll do is we'll put the Community Futures link for Community Futures of Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta across or underneath our show notes. So speaking of that, the opportunities, and can you tell us, are there certain sectors in northern Manitoba that are experiencing labor shortages? So if somebody was to relocate or a newcomer, is there opportunity for them in the north?
Yeah, certainly. So again, we're hearing in the news a lot about critical minerals, mining, more development in that area. And of course, that has traditionally been northern Manitoba's industry has been around natural resources, so mining and forestry. And so we're hearing a lot about the new Port of Churchill improvements and also infrastructure improvements to the rail line to Churchill to support the activity of that port. So we foresee that we're going to have a lot more demand in the mining sector, and we're seeing a lot more training to employment programs to support that. We also see, again, forestry is a sector that is cyclical, but is definitely growing right now and is going to need to support some of the larger Build Canada projects that are coming. So there's a large forestry operation in the Paw, and I think that we'll continue to see growth there as well. Definitely supply chain and logistics, because that port, this rail line, there is a new mine operation that's going up about 80 kilometers from Flin Flon on the Saskatchewan side, and that's the Foran. It's a Foran copper operation. And they have a 500-person camp. So again, they're moving a remote workforce in and out. Wow. And we want to see, again, how we can capture some of those folks and encourage them to relocate here permanently. Mm-hmm. What's changed in the natural resource sector is that we no longer build communities around projects. We build the project and we move the workforce in and out. So that means a whole new reality for communities like Flin Flon, where, you know, the mine here closed in 2022, but there isn't a ton of unemployed miners right now, as most of them are working at Hudbay operations in Snow Lake or at Foran operations. So there is a lot of opportunity in the mining sector. People need to understand the reality with that is that you're moving in and out of a camp. right? So you're going to be away from home for a period of time working, and you're going to be home for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Pros and cons to both. If you're working in camp, you only work half the year. The salaries are very, very desirable. Flin Flon and Snow Lake tend to be in the top communities for per capita income in the province, and that is because of the mining sector. So those jobs, they pay very well. There's a lot of opportunities for growth as well. And it's not the perception of the dirty miner working underground. There are so many jobs now in technology, in science. All mines have, state-of-the-art laboratory facilities. There's environmental and water testing, safety jobs. They need janitorial. The mine sector comes with all these other pieces, right? They need people to clean rooms in the camp, cooks, and it goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like you said, if someone chose to say move to Flin Flon and work at the mine and they have, a partner, there's other opportunities within Flin Flon as well. So it's not as if, or they can both work at the mine, right? There's not as if they're not going to be able to find employment, the other person, if they move for one job. There's so many opportunities around that area.
Yeah, certainly. And so we also see a lot of opportunity in the healthcare sector, right? So healthcare jobs are in demand pretty much everywhere. And what's really, I think, a benefit to Flin Flon as well, and a good choice to come here, we have a diploma practical nursing program that has a number of seats that, they do intake every year. That was part of a huge expansion of the DPN program that the government did across northern Manitoba. So sometimes if you want to grow your career in the healthcare field, you may not be able to find seats at some of the institutions in Winnipeg. It doesn't hurt to look at Assiniboine College, to look at University College of the North, Northlands College out of the Saskatchewan side. And so again, more opportunity. And the Northern Manitoba Mining Academy, which sits in Flin Flon, recently invested in a $2 million student housing facility. So again, there is opportunity for people to come here, do their training, reside here while they train, get a job here, and then buy a house or get one of those $1 lots and build your house. Yeah.
So you know what, Becky, that actually is brilliant what you just said, because a lot of people, especially newcomers that are international students, and since it's been cut in half by the federal government, there's been a lot of struggles with international students and them receiving the right information from people. And what you just said is a brilliant strategy, because, you have opportunities for people to come train in your community, and then you can get a job, and then you can stay there. And that's all the immigration strategy. Like that's how simple it can be, but you have to pick the right career. You have to have the opportunity to be hired, and then the opportunity to remain hired as well. Mm-hmm. So, so right there was a really great way of packaging how great the North is in terms of, in attracting international students and the opportunity you have within it. So love that.
And I think too, you gave a great example just of your own experience. A lot of times people come and say, I'm going to stay for a couple of years, and they stay because they realize what an amazing place it is to grow, raise a family, and all the opportunities. And realistically, you're not that far from the South. You can fly, you can drive. What is the drive? How long is it, say, to Winnipeg?
Yeah, so to Winnipeg, it's about 7.5 hours. And Saskatoon is actually about 5.5. So you've got a couple of options. And we're seeing, huge improvements in cell phone coverage. So it's much safer to travel in the North than it was even just a few years ago. There's, been so many investments in a lot of safety and communications. And so that's a huge benefit as well. Starlink internet systems have changed, the opportunities now, really the sky's the limit, pardon the pun. But, you can have a beautiful place at the lake at Cranberry Portage, and you can be doing work for IBM or Google or the government of Canada. And so there's, again, just the opportunities, limitations that we previously might have had, some from technology or transportation, are being reduced more and more.
Is there flights to and from Becky? Yes.
So there's daily service, Winnipeg to the Paw and Flin Flon. from Winnipeg, so through Comair. Comair is also a fantastic community partner, just does a lot to support the communities that they service. And so, yeah, daily flights every day except Saturday. So again, you can easily get on a plane, come up here, spend a couple of days looking around and checking things out.
So are there any, you know, talking about sort of the industries in the realm, you've sort of covered, I think, all of them. Is there any other emerging industries or newer projects that haven't, that are, you're hearing about or coming up, or anything that we've missed, I guess, to make sure we've covered that whole
area? Yeah, so I do want to mention tourism, and then I also want to mention arts and culture. So when you think about the North, you think about tourism, right? Everybody wants to go to Churchill and see polar bears and belugas, and you should absolutely do that because it's life-changing. And we, of course, have beautiful Northern Lights. We have tremendous wildlife viewing, angling, hunting, and so tourism opportunities. So, you know, we're always looking for entrepreneurs, business people who are interested in that sector, hospitality and accommodations. There's always demand there. And then a real unique thing that you find in, especially in our more urban industrial communities, so Thompson, The Paw, Flin Flon, and also Churchill, I would have to mention, huge arts and culture sectors and communities. And it was one of the things that I found so ironic almost about Flin Flon when I moved here is, you know, you would meet somebody who's like a rough and tough kind of miner with, you know, a burly nickname and worked underground all his life. And he sings in the community choir on Saturday afternoons, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's this really interesting dichotomy of that, you know, our tourism brand is the water and the wild. And that's sort of that wild part of it is that unexpectedness that you can find here. Mm-hmm. And of course, such an interesting and unique history. And a lot of folks working hard to capture the history and the heritage and culture. And so, yeah, if you want to understand more about how the North was settled, how communities grew, how the mining sector grew in the North, there's just a ton of history here in Flin Flon.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, like you said before, the sky's the limit in terms of opportunities and whatever industry you want. It's there.
Yeah, and we have great education facilities in the community. And so I know that teaching positions, you know, there's always a need for teachers in the community. And we get a lot of new residents. We get a lot of teachers, especially from Ontario. And they come here and they also, a lot of folks get engaged with the arts community and they just love it, right? So they just thrive here. My children actually had a teacher a couple of years ago from the East Coast. She moved here. She taught for a couple of years. Her and her partner went back to the East Coast. And within 2 years, they were back. And they've now bought a home and stayed here. I have another example of a teacher and a partner who moved here. They were only planning to be here for 2 or 3 years. They left, did some teaching internationally, came back, bought a house. So it's kind of cool that like people come, they stay, and even if they leave, there's that pull to come back.
That's so awesome. So, okay, you had mentioned tourism. So we're going to wrap it up with one of our final questions. And we love to ask everyone that we have a chat with. So if someone's listening and they're considering moving to the North, you know, in terms of before, what steps would they take to get there? Would you tell them to come for a visit? And if so, what would you tell them to do for the day?
Certainly. So it was there. The itinerary would depend on summer versus winter. But again, keeping with your theme, let's assume winter. I encourage people to check out the Flin Flon Bomber, our SJHL minor hockey team. So Flin Flon has an expansive hockey history. Several NHL players came out of this community, including Bobby Clark and Reggie Leach, of course, very famous Manitobans. Our NORVA is the Northern Visual Arts Center. And so that's our artisans cooperative. So you can see some incredible art there in a number of mediums. And then we're going to go out on our cross-country ski trails, which are world-class facilities. And we're going to take a group of folks to experience that. So I think that would be your day in Flin Flon. You would do some hockey, you would do some art, and you get out on the land, and our cross-country ski trails, the views are incredible.
And what's the best way to reach out to you? I think we'll post all of your information at the bottom if people mm-hmm. want to reach out and just have a chat if they're thinking about learning more about Flin Flon and all of that.
Yeah, that would be great. So our office can be reached at 204-687-6967. And people can also email us admin@greenstone.com.
Perfect. And everyone, we'll have that in the links as well. And I just wanted to add a little, another shout out to Community Futures. That's how I started. 1,000%. I don't think I would be where I was today without the supports. Like, I remember getting connected with Community Futures. They set me up. There was a program running for women entrepreneurs. I was able to get a coach. I learned how to create proposals, you know, got feedback, how to negotiate, like all of those. And it was all funded. You know, that helped me get my first contract with a company. And I've gotten a grant for other things as well. Like, it's just amazing to me. So I encourage anyone who is living in a rural community, that should be one of your first, it should be on your list of stops to make when you move to a new community, is to check in with Community Futures.
Well, and the other thing too, Community Futures is made up of, so they have paid staff, but they also have their board of directors are all volunteers, right? So, you know, if you stop in to, you know, let's say the office in Flin Flon or anywhere, and you say, okay, you know, and you're in this certain industry, I bet you, whatever, that the staff in any Community Futures will have a connection to say, oh, you should go speak to this person for that reason, right? Because Absolutely. The network that Community Futures has is astounding. So mm-hmm. it's such a great resource for rural and northern towns.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, that's so, it's great to hear those positive comments. And that's really what it's about, is for us to, you know, try and make a difference and help our communities to grow and thrive. And we know that new residents are a part of that.
Well, thank you so much, Becky, for coming on today, everyone. We're going to have all the links in the show notes, but definitely check out Flin Flon, check out Community Futures Greenstone. And thanks again for listening.
Until next time. Live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.